ride, the Gophers go off. Kick is good. Two seconds left to go in the half. 5-yard offside penalty will be now assessed Iowa, and as I said, they will kick from the 45-yard line. Reed will kick off from that point. 7-7 ball game. A 7-yard scoring pass. Hankinson went to his right. He got trapped near the right sideline, came back a little bit, saw Kramer frantically waving, doing everything, screaming, please, please, throw me the ball. Then it was not too good of a pass. It was wobbly and a little weak. And a defender was racing over to try to cover. But somehow the ball just cleared him and nestled into the waiting arms of Kramer on this side of the end zone. And the Gophers have tied it up 7-7. I know you're staying right tight. Reed will kick off. 2 seconds left. And there's the kick coming downfield. A spiral picked up by Noonan. He goes back to the 13, to the 20. Runs to the 22 coming this way. He's going to be hit. And he's really spun down by Bruggers. And dumped. And there's the end of the first half. And the score is Minnesota 7, Iowa 7.
There are a lot of ways to save precious memories. A scrapbook, a picture. But nothing more personal than the spoken words. That's why so many families are adding a VM tape recorder to their gift list this year. VM recorders in stereo and monaural are perfect for sending a spoken letter, saving the inimitable voice of a child or a distant loved one. Practical for recording business meetings or school notes, practicing speeches and music. There is so much you can do with a tape recorder, and you can do so much more on a VM. See the wide price and model selection of VM tape recorders at your Twin City Record Lane and Musicland stores, including 7th and Wabasha in St. Paul and 12 South 7th in Minneapolis. Tell them Frank Butel sent you.
There was some booing here at the conclusion of the half. One of the Iowa assistant coaches, I think unwisely, went over and he was really berating the officials, all five of them, as they came off the field about that pass interference call. But they really clobbered last around the 7-yard line, and the official called it immediately. The flag was down. Last did have a chance to grab the ball. The ball was actually intercepted, but of course on a pass interference, it set up the Gopher touchdown, no question about it. But that's the way the ball bounces. And the Gophers, we forgot to mention, took over in that touchdown drive and went 73 yards in that drive with Hankinson's pass to last 7 yards for the touchdown and Reed making it good. And we had just one running play overall, 4 pass completions, 1 incompleted pass, and, of course, the pass interference call helping us out along the way. And we scored with 2 seconds left. So it's 7-7 here at the halftime. And let's right now, while we just sort of catch our breath a little bit, and maybe for a change of pace, let's swing down to the field and the Minnesota Marching Band.
The marching band with Drum Major Dick Johnson welcomes you to an afternoon of marching band pageantry. Our program today reflects on our national heritage.
is a great pleasure to welcome back to the University of Minnesota campus in our broadcast booth the former athletic director, Ike Armstrong. Ike, I don't know what you're doing, but you've beaten Ponce de Leon to it. You're looking younger and healthier and more fit than ever.
Well, Jack, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. Of course, I don't have to get older now. See, I've had all these experiences.
Well, yeah, you've certainly reversed the process somewhere along the line. Ike, isn't this a tremendous day and a wonderful football game?
Yes, this is a great football game, Jack, and it's a beautiful day, and it's really a colorful event. I think it's one of the fine events that we can see in American sports today, a real good college football game on a fine afternoon in a big crowd.
Now, your official capacity is supervisor of officials for the Big Ten. Are you holding some instruction courses for these officials before the season starts?
Jack, yes, we have a clinic we have in August where we have all the officials in, and they take rules examinations, and they also have to have a physical examination. And at that time, we have coaches in, we have interpretation of rules, and then we have some instructions on the mechanics and a lot of things of that nature.
I certainly think that these fellas this year are doing a real good job, not only this game, but I think generally throughout the year that the officials have been very efficient, and they have been on the play immediately with good decision and with firmness, don't you?
Well, yes, we always think it's that way, Jack, but of course officials get bad breaks, and we get a lot of officiating from the bleachers and the... all over, and of course we have to feel that the official is on the scene, he sees it, and he knows the rule, and he calls it the best way he can. A lot of them are judgment calls, just like a ball or strike over the base, and so that's what makes it a great game.
Of course, you don't have any worries until you give these people in the bleachers whistles.
That's right.
Ike, as a former coach, what would be your appraisal of the first half of this ball game?
Well, Jack, I don't think that I've ever seen finer passing than this boy Snook has put on. I think they're two fine, spirited football teams, and Hankinson is throwing well too. And I think they're very well matched football teams, and I think it's going to be a great game before it's over with.
Actually, when this touchdown that Minnesota made, it was a matter of Hankinson recovering from a mistake, because it looked as though the play had been set up to the right side to say on a button hook into the end zone, and Hankinson missed him on the moment that he should have tossed to him. Shea appeared to be maneuvering down in the end zone and then couldn't get free of his defender. Didn't you? Wasn't it a recovery of a mistake?
Well, I wasn't watching that. I was watching the officials, and I don't know. I don't pay too much attention to any mechanical things in football. As far as the game as the coaching is concerned.
Ike, let's move a fella in here that you have had a lot of acquaintance with, Forrest Evashevsky, the athletic director at the University of Iowa. And, of course, you and Evie over the years have become very close friends, I know. You've seen a lot of football. Evie, what do you think of the contest so far?
Well, it really turned around in a hurry. I thought we were going to go in for the second score and be leading 14-0 at halftime, and Snook fumbled when he was rushed, when he went back to pass. Minnesota recovered. They got a break on the punt formation when the kicker was roughed, which kept him alive. And I thought that Hankinson did a great job using the sideline to stop the clock, and of course they got down, they got a pass interference call, and then it was a real fine play when he ran to his right and threw back to tie the score up.
It's a ball game that I guess we all expected to be an offensive display, and yet the defense has been very good. Don't both of you agree on that, Ike and Evie?
Well, I look at it from a different viewpoint than they have. He's looking at the teams. I'm trying to watch the official.
Well, I do. I think that both defenses have been good, although both teams have been able to move the ball where it doesn't count. The only time that Minnesota moved the ball was right at the end, when it made a lot of difference. And before that, both ball clubs were moving it between the 20s with great ease. But I don't know. The game is pretty close. I believe offensive yardage, Minnesota leads by About 7 yards. So this is quite a revelation.
I was just looking at what the number of yards gained, net yards gained rushing. Iowa 21, Minnesota 51. Both teams have attempted 18 passes, and both of them have completed 10 passes. Minnesota had one of its intercepted. Iowa's had none.
I'd like to say this, though, Jack. On that pass that was intercepted, it certainly was not the fault of the quarterback. It was a perfect pass. He hit the receiver right in the hands, and he bobbled it and deflected it up in the air when an Iowa defender, Hilsebeck, picked it off.
This Noonan runs beautifully on those patterns, doesn't he?
I think it's the best passing combination in intercollegiate ball, Jack. Snook to Noonan. But I'd like to say this, that we have another receiver that is not far behind, is this O'Hara kid. He's about 200 pounds, 6'3". And, of course, he's dangerous all the time there, especially when they give Noonan double coverage. Look out. They can throw to him and bust the game wide open.
Evie, if Iowa had that good power runner up the middle, would this be a real fine running team too? With those, because you got good halfback speed, haven't you?
Got good halfback speed. I don't know. It depends upon the way Jerry's using them. He's using the smaller, quicker backs. But I would say that our running game has been pretty good. But our running game complements our passing game, where normally your passing game complements the running game. So if we can move the ball in the air, Jack, against most ball clubs, we're able to run, and this has been the story. But if we start out cold, you know, we're going to run it down their throats. We have not had what you would call an abundance of success.
To both of you, I will pose this question. What do you think of this score after three periods? Penn State 20 and Ohio State nothing.
Well, I can tell you, he saw the game last week.
Well, of course, we in the conference don't like that score at all. We think that the conference team should always win. It's really a little surprise because I didn't think that Penn State was that strong.
In fairness to Ohio State, though, I would like to say this, that Ohio State came out of our ball game last week, Jack, with a rash of injuries. In fact, I believe in the last quarter, I counted 6 Ohio State Buckeyes who were helped off the field. Now, how many are out for this contest, I don't know. But knowing Woody Hayes, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he kept anybody who had a torn cuticle out of the contest, saving up for the last two conference games, Northwestern and Michigan.
Hasn't this always been Woody's philosophy? Ohio State, for the power of its ball clubs, loses a lot of non-conference games. Simply because Woody is one of these men who believes that the conference champion is the great prize.
Well, I believe Woody's always sacrificed games to non-conference opponents if he felt it would strengthen them in the Big Ten race. Yes, I think definitely that's been the history. Don't you think so, Ike?
That's right. That's right.
I was going to say, Ike, Mr. Evashevsky has certainly set things up for his football coach. I would guess that Iowa this year must be playing one of the toughest football schedules ever put together by anybody, aren't you, Evie?
I think that we're playing as tough as any team can play. In fact, we're one of the few that'll play the number one team on twice in one season. We took Ohio State out of that number one spot last week. And then, of course, we close with Notre Dame, and the way it looks now, Notre Dame stands a good chance of being number one when we play them on November the 21st. So in between with a conference schedule that we've had a pretty good season as far as scheduling is concerned, especially when you think that we played in our second ball game, the University of Washington, who were the they were the Rose Bowl participant from the West Coast.
Let me say this as we get ready to say goodbye to you two gentlemen, Forrest Evashevsky and Ike Armstrong. I would like to personally congratulate you two men for the great job you did as athletic directors at the universities of Minnesota and Iowa, for bringing this football game to such a high level and making it the prime rivalry for both schools, and yet keeping competition so fine and clean. To both of you, I think that great congratulations.